Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome to Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys to gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journey. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. It was just a little over 1 year ago that I launched the Leap of Faith program, and I felt like celebrating what has happened here. In that time, I've done nearly 50 interviews. I've interviewed famous people like Jamie Geller, Yael Trush, Rabbi David Rosen, and Andrea Grinberg. I've interviewed many people who, like me, are not only used to telling their Torah journey, but have written books. Yosef and Amuna Murray, Bracha Goetz, Rabbi Daniel Cohn, Rabbi David Mark, for example. I've also interviewed people who also have radio programs, and I've interviewed people who are just regular people. No TV or radio shows, just people. But people with stories just the same. Over the years of telling my own story and speaking to literally tens of thousands of people, if there's one thing that I've learned is that everyone has a story. Of course, some stories are more interesting to hear, more entertaining, and certainly some of us are better at telling them than others. But every person has a story, a journey. You also have a story and a journey. Maybe it's not the right story to share on my show, but you have a story nonetheless, and you can use it to inspire others. But I think the one thing that really sums up my experience over the past year was a conversation I had with Heather Dean. I haven't had her on my show yet. She also has a podcast that she does and which is hosted on H.com. Anyway, Heather has her own story and just published her own book. But Heather and I were talking at a meetup one day, and she said to me that the thing that she loves most about my show is the fact that even though I have my own story, my show is about the other person every time. Although I'll admit that I do sometimes pipe in with my own opinion, I really do try to sit back and let the other person shine. And boy, do some of them shine. So I decided for my 1 year anniversary and 50th show to put together some of the most profound things that were said during the past year. If you've been listening to my shows, you may have noticed that at the end of almost every episode, I ask my guests to leave the audience with one last thought. And so for this edition, I've pulled together these wise words from each show. I hope you'll enjoy this special edition of Leap of Faith. After we get back from the break, we'll be hearing those profound words of wisdom. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Biblical. Be beautiful. Wear your crown.
Repping is my crown.
Do what married Jewish women have been doing for thousands of years. Celebrate the art of head wrapping. I'm Andrea Grinberg from Rapunzel.com. We have beautiful scarves, stunning accessories, scarves for faith, scarves for healing, and scarves for fun. Rapunzel.com. That's Rapunzel with a W. Or click on our banner on the Israel News Talk Radio homepage.
Rapunzel.com. Beautiful scarves, stunning accessories, paired with tutorials, support, and a vibrant community to give you everything you need to start and perfect your head covering journey.
Don't forget, join the Rapunzel community group on Facebook to see, learn, and share your beautiful wraps. That's Rapunzel with a W on Facebook.
I love Rapunzel.
I love Rapunzel.
I love Rapunzel.
Get 10% off your purchase with promo code RADIO. Go now to Rapunzel.com.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor. And as I said in the introduction before the break, in celebration of our one-year anniversary and my 50th episode, I thought it might be really cool to look back on some of the incredible words of wisdom that have been shared by my guests over the past year. So as I was working on this first segment, I found an interesting connection among the excerpts that I had picked out. All spiritual journeys have many factors in common. A spiritual journey begins with a person who's seeking. Sometimes the primary thing that they're seeking is spiritual connection, and sometimes it's the pursuit of truth. Sometimes it's meaning. Sometimes it's coming to terms with an authentic expression of themselves. The second common theme, if you will, is that aha moment. That moment when suddenly we're faced with a reality. It could be the reality that we don't really believe what we thought we did, or that what we believed no longer appears to be the truth. Sometimes it's a realization that what makes us happy is something different from what we thought. After the search begins and that aha moment happens, that's usually followed by a leap of faith, taking the next step, even though you're not sure what's coming down the line. But then there's also usually a moment of doubt when the seeker realizes that every system is flawed, that people are faulty human beings no matter what their spiritual practice. Or perhaps it's the realization that there are people in your life that will disconnect from you because of your journey. Sometimes it's the realization that you didn't realize what was included in the package, and you're not sure if you can fully commit to everything that's expected. Our first previous guest today is Akiva Hollinger, who, along with his wife and 8 children, got a thirst for truth that led him from the Mennonite faith to Orthodox Judaism. And while sharing with us his journey, towards the end of the talk, he spoke about counting the cost of making the journey to Torah. And he touched not only on the cost of choosing Torah, but what would have been the cost had we not. Let's listen to what Akiva had to say.
When you look at when the children of Israel were at the sea, waiting to cross, Mitzrayim was behind them, and they felt hemmed in. And the rabbis would say there were 3 groups of people. There were those that wanted to stay and fight, those that wanted to return, and there, I guess 4. There was one that some that would say that they were going to let the Egyptians come and take them. And there was a group of them that said, no, we're walking ahead. And if you look at the intricate parts of that, what the rabbis say there in that portion is like how far they had to walk into the water before the water parted. And I think sometimes we forget about calculating the cost. There's a cost on the front side of it. We don't know if we're going to survive. We don't know. But there comes a point where you have to start walking by faith. And you have to walk into the water. And do we know the outcome? Not necessarily. But the cost on the other side of it, it saved how many thousands of people.
Right.
And I think that's where people forget to count the cost. They count the cost immediately, but they forget to count the cost of the future for that second, third, and fourth generation.
My next guest is Avi Eastman. Avi is a musician, a football coach, and a former military man who found Torah while serving overseas. Avi talked about his spiritual journey, like trying to find a shoe that fits. And when asked about how hard his journey was, here's what he had to say.
So yes, hard, but no, not so hard. It's been a remarkable journey. You have to know why you're on the journey for yourself. You've got to be moving in a direction. And sometimes it requires, as my mother did, throwing me off a deep end. But other times it's a matter of just relaxing and letting it flow and seeing where it takes you.
Next, we're going to hear from Aaron Shoshana. Aaron, like Akiva and Avi, was not born Jewish, but chose Judaism and Torah. During her journey, Aaron shared with us how she had to learn to let go, trust the process, and realize that family can be made up of people you aren't related to by blood. Here's what she had to share about that.
Well, I think I'll put it this way. When I got married, there's different beliefs about this or different customs, but the rabbi who married us told us that if my parents are not Jewish, they cannot be the ones to walk me to the chuppah. So we had to find someone else to help us with that or to find a compromise. He said they can walk you the first half of the way, but whoever brings you there, you know, they need to be Jewish. So that boss, if you remember that I told you about, who supported me during my conversion, he and his wife flew in from Brooklyn for my wedding and did me the honor of walking with me to the chuppah. And to me, that's just kind of, you know, in a way, like goodbyes. I'm constantly saying goodbye to my family and or to my old past or to my old identity. And there are good people, or what I've learned, there are good people waiting in the wings to hold your hand and to walk with you and to be there for you. And in order to let that happen, you have to trust yourself and you have to listen to that inner voice and just give up control. And by doing that, I think that's truly the only way to realize your destiny in the best way for you.
Next, we're going to hear from Andrea Grinberg. Andrea is an incredibly talented young woman. In addition to being the owner of Rapunzel, a company that helps women with the mitzvah of head covering, she's an accomplished musician. Now, during her interview, she talked about the struggle of reconciling her gifts as a musician with the limitations of performance which certain streams of Orthodox Judaism place on women. Towards the end of the interview, I asked her what she would say to a woman who is struggling with how she'll express her gifts while also conforming to community expectations for women. Here's what Andrea had to say about that.
So I would say, and this is putting it a little bluntly, that Mashiach is not here yet. Everyone has their thing that they need to fix and a thing that pains them, that keeps them up at night, the thing that they try to run away from, the thing that they avoid. And it's different for every single person. For me, it might be music or head wrapping. For someone else, it might be their voice. For someone else, it might be the school system. Who knows what it is? But there's that thing. And at this point in my life, I'm realizing that Hashem gives us those feelings. God gives us those feelings because we're meant to face them. And hopefully if we pray hard enough, we say like, God, like, why did you give me this conflict? Yet I don't know what the resolution is. I know what the Jews are saying. I know what the Torah is saying. I know there's a lot of gray area within that, but who am I? Who am I to go out there and like, as a Baal Tshuva, as someone that converted, as someone that came to religion later in her life, who am I to go out there and try to make a difference, you know, to these people that know so much and have said so much and who I look up to so much? But the truth is that Hashem made our generation in the way that he made it. Our generation, you would think that we're very privileged. You know, we thank God have not gone through a Holocaust. We thank God most of us have enough food and don't have worries about starvation or housing that previous generations had. So we have the luxury to actually look deep and look within our souls. But I believe that we're part of a spiritual awakening right now, that there has to be some sort of collective conscious shift that needs to happen in the world if we are genuinely wanting Mashiach to come. So what I would say to those women going through that pain is don't be impulsive or destructive, and don't turn your back on something that you love and that you know to be true, whether it's Judaism or voice, but really try to carry that conflict within yourself. Really try to understand that Hashem gave me this pain and Hashem gave me this conflict. Please, Hashem, if you gave me this conflict, then there's a way to fix it. Help me. Please give me the opportunity. And I noticed from my own life, if someone sincerely, sincerely prays and davens for help, for resolution, for some sort of answer, then those opportunities will come. And they will never come in the way that you think they will come, ever. It will usually be something that you don't even recognize until weeks later. Or it might be something that comes with its own difficulties. But I believe that God is infinite. So anything can happen. So I wouldn't encourage anyone to, like, don't think that you're a mistake. You're not a mistake. Nothing is put into you by mistake. Your desires for connection, how can that be a mistake? How can that be unholy? Like, it's a beautiful thing.
Wow, isn't it amazing what wisdom comes out of the struggle and the journey? Well, our last guest for this segment is Gavriel Sanders. Gavriel is a world-renowned speaker in the Jewish world and previously in the non-Jewish world. Gavriel shared with us his incredibly inspirational journey from a minister on staff at one of the biggest churches in America, a missionary in Israel and in Saudi Arabia, to a Torah observant Jew. When asked what words he had to say to someone who is struggling with leaving Christianity and embracing Torah, this is what he had to say.
I really understand. I know how you feel. I've been there and I've been done by that. If what you've heard here today is a process, not an event, You know, conversion to Christianity is an event. It happens in a moment. Believe, receive, and achieve. Here, it was a real journey. And so you have to expose yourself to light, and then the darkness goes away. And the light is in the Torah. It says Torah or, those two words. Torah, God's instruction manual for life, or is light. First words God speaks, by he or, let there be light. So you want to expose yourself to the light of God's principles, and those are laid out in the Torah. I used to say that the new is in the old, concealed, and the old is in the new, revealed. Today I say what's new isn't true, and what's true isn't new. Okay, these are phrases I picked up a long way. Reach out to somebody, reach out to Penina, reach out to me. Listen to things online. There's tons of stuff at Tenak Talk, T-E-N-A-K, Talk. Let's look at that. There's a lot of things to listen to there. You can learn specific passages, whatever. A lot of people have contributed to help you along the way to find your way home to your Creator in whatever way you need to serve Him, as a Noahide, as someone who follows the seven Noahide principles, or if you have a Jewish soul that's looking to really be birthed and then to follow it in the way that has always worked in terms of this mouth-to-ear transmission called the Masorah, the tradition. And I'm not talking in Fiddler on the Roof terms. You got to get it from somebody who's got it. And so that's connecting yourself to the real lifeline, the power line of Torah and Mitzvot, and the people who've been purveying it for 3,500 years, 3,300 years, excuse me.
Wow, wow, wow. What incredible collective words of wisdom, right? Well, it's time now for us to take a short break. But when we come back, we'll hear more from my incredible guests from this past year. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the second segment of Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys so we can gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journey. I'm Penina Taylor, and this is my special one-year anniversary edition of Leap of Faith. In the first segment, we heard from people who had chosen to be Jewish. Not raised Jewish. Most of them had been raised Christian. But now, in this next segment, we're going to hear some words of wisdom from several guests who chose to remain non-Jews, but to devote their lives to the Torah's guidance for non-Jews. These B'nai Noach, or Noahides, have some incredible things to share with us. Now, my first guest was actually a married couple, Jason and Sherry LaCrosse. And after sharing their incredible story of finding Torah and each other, I mentioned to them that there are some non-Jews who often express concern to me that being a Noahide isn't enough for them, that maybe they should convert to Judaism. And I asked Jason and Sherry what they would say is the biggest challenge of being a Noahide. And here's what they had to say.
As a Noahide, I think in that question that they're posing to you, what they're wanting is they want that community. They want a community that they can get together with on Shabbat, that every week, that they can get together with during the holy days and live as this righteous non-Jew connected to Hashem. But that's really not, like, even the two communities, the one I came from, the one I'm involved with now, it's not exactly this. It's not as available, and we just don't have as much as, and then you go through the thing of, well, this really isn't the Shema or the Ten Commandments. You're like, well, that's not really, I'm not really Jewish, but
right.
That's a hard thing to get over too, is like, you know, you have to realize that Jews aren't better. We're all equal. We're all God's children.
It's kind of hard to feel like you're not this and you're not that, and your identity is what you're not rather than what you are, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
I guess what I would say, for someone that might be somewhat in, similar position, if Jonah can pray from the belly of a whale a mile under the ocean, you can pray to the same God in a West Texas town or wherever you are. And for me, whether you convert or you don't convert, there's not a right or a wrong answer. And do the best you can where you're at. You never know what God's going to put in front of you. And, if you devote some time to study and personal prayer, things are going to change. Things are going to happen. You just have to take it one day at a time.
Well, my next guest is Rod Bryant. Rod is not only a Noahide, but he started an organization called Nativ. Nativ's purpose is to teach Torah to Noahides, to satisfy their hunger for connecting to God in an appropriate and Jewish context. Nativ is creating that community that Jewish people have always had and that many Noahides are so desperately seeking. During his interview, I asked Rod why he had chosen not to convert to Judaism, and he told us this incredible story.
A couple of years into the progress, I started speaking in local shuls, explaining what Nativ was and what the Noahide world was all about. And I was in Queens to speak at one particular shul there in Queens. Beautiful community. I spoke. And the next day, my host said, I'm going to take you to meet this amazing chacham in the community. He's an elder, highly respected. Let me call him. So he calls him on the speakerphone in his car. And the guy was like, well, I really don't know much about Noahide. Yeah. But if you want to bring him over, I'll talk to him just because of you. And then I'm thinking, oh, really? No, don't the poor man's time, okay? He goes, no, you have to. So we get there, very humble guy, walk up the classy Queens, New York building with the tall steps in front, go into the front room. There he's sitting at a desk, very humble, small desk. And I sit down and he greets me and he asked a few questions and I answered them. And then he said, so are you going to convert? I was like, yeah, I haven't thought not to. And right. He goes, far be it from me to tell you what to do. But really, you're doing what Hashem wants you to do. Mm-hmm. You can be much more effective if you just do what you're doing now. So he stood up and he came around the desk, a short conversation, 10 minutes, five minutes. And he gave me a big hug, kissed me on both cheeks, and held me so long that it felt kind of like odd, and I felt like I was going to fall. You understand what I'm saying? He's like holding on, and then he reaches back, and he says, give me a bracha. I was like, oh
wow,
far be it. Well, you should be giving me a bracha. He goes, no, give me a bracha. So I gave him a bracha, a blessing, and he looked at me, and he said, you are really doing what you're supposed to do. And I said, well, thank you. So I leave. And I'm walking down the street and his assistant comes up and he goes, hey, the rabbi wants to talk to you again. So I go back up and at the top of the stairs outside of his door, he gives me another big hug and a kiss on the cheek. And he says, you've heard that Hashem has divine sparks in the world and nations, little sparks, and that he resurrects those in the end of days to make an impact, to inspire others. He says, you're one of those. Go do what you're supposed to do. I don't tell you, it so profoundly affected me that I came home and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to enjoy this, let Hashem do what he's got to do.
Is that incredible or what? Well, now, after hearing how Rod received his marching orders to keep doing what he was doing and create a community for Noahites to learn Torah, it only makes sense to follow with my next guest, Jim Long. Jim is an author, filmmaker, and founder of Lightcatcher Studios, which is based in Northwest Arkansas. During his interview, Jim shared his long search from a Catholic country schoolboy to a leader in the Noahide movement. And at the end of his interview, he shares his perspective on the Noahide relationship to Torah and the Jewish people, and especially the oral Torah. Here's what Jim had to say.
The Torah was my ruler. It was my acid test. It was the litmus test. If it didn't fit the teachings of Torah, I rejected it. And I also did something that a lot of Christians have to do because a lot of fundamentalist Christians, these are people who believe that every single word in the New Testament is true, else in the so-called Old Testament. And if it wasn't in the print, you didn't believe it. I had to embrace the oral tradition. And at first I was afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And because, it's not on the printed page. But then I saw very quickly that there were many of the mitzvot, the commandments, that were not explained, yet Jews had been following them halakhically for centuries. How did they know to do that? They wouldn't have known how to lay tefillin. They wouldn't learn how to shek an animal and so many other things if it weren't for the oral tradition. And of course, archaeology helped confirm that because they at Qumran, they found 2,000-year-old phylacteries in tefillin. And they looked right. just like modern tefillin and phylacteries. And the other thing that always, Penina, that always drove and fueled my belief in the Tanakh and also Torah was seeing the thing that really cemented it for me was to look at history and to see the promise that Israel would return to the land and that the people would flow back into the land that was Israel. There it was. It was part of history, just like Hashem had said and like the prophets had promised. So learning Torah did something for me that I'd always ask Hashem to do. It answered many pivotal questions I had about the nature of who the Creator was and what He required of us. And when I learned that I could have a relationship with God by simply keeping the Sheva Mitzvot, which was against idolatry, against blasphemy, against theft, murder, immorality, eating the limb of a living animal, and setting up courts of justice, I said, I can do that. So this is why I embraced it, and I continue to embrace Torah. Amazing. I recognize the people of Israel as those people that Hashem told us in the Torah were His a kingdom of priests and His Kohanim, his that would teach us the Torah. And I firmly accept your role as my elder sister, and because you're the firstborn, and you know the Rambam says it is incumbent upon Israel to teach the nations the Sheva Mitzvot.
Right.
And that's the world that I live in now.
My last guest for this segment is Shara Chabachki. Shara shared with us her journey to become a Noahide, which she thought was going to take her through conversion to Judaism. But when she found herself with a reluctant husband, she sought spiritual counseling, hoping that her husband would be convinced to convert to Judaism, only to learn that there was another path she hadn't considered. Let's hear about how she dealt with the news.
We ended up deciding that the Noahide path is the way for us. I hadn't heard too much about them. See, that's the thing. No one tells you there is the Noahide path, or not no one. I always generalize things. I shouldn't say that. But there isn't always this presentation of the two paths that are out there. There's this assumption that because you were a Christian and you read your Bible and you were studious enough to discover the lies, that somehow you actually want to convert. So essentially, I was just at this place where I said, you know what? I don't want religion. I've only been seeking it because of that fear experience that I had on the back of my car. I knew I wanted God. I love God, but I don't want to go to HE double hockey sticks because that's what we're told. You know, there's only one way out of here. And you believe that you have to be a part of some formal religion in a very formal way in order to have a relationship with God. Now with this option, I thought, this is amazing. What? I don't have to be a part of any religion. So that was the beginning of my eye-opening experience. And it has been a relief spiritually for me. My friend went on to convert. And for her, it was everything. And I saw the difference between herself and myself, even, you know, going through the process. She had a fire that could not be quenched. And she was willing to do things that I just wasn't willing to do. And from there, you know, she converted and she made Aliyah and now she's married. And it's just beautiful. And we're still best friends today. And we're in completely different paths. But we talk about Torah all the time. Every time we talk, that's all we talk about. And that's what we have in common. So it's just amazing.
And that, my friends, is what I, and I believe most of my listeners, love so much about this show. It's so inspirational to hear other people's journey and the struggles they've gone through and the wisdom they've gleaned along the way. Well, we're out of time for this segment, but after the break, we'll hear more incredible words of wisdom. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound,
most essential and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the second segment of Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys so we can gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journey. I'm Penina Taylor, and this is our special one-year anniversary edition of Leap of Faith. In the first two segments, we heard words of wisdom from people who had followed their journey to Torah all the way to conversion to Judaism. And in the second segment, we heard from those who had chosen to remain Noahides, not to convert, to stay righteous Gentiles. But for this last segment, we're going to hear from six of my guests who were born Jewish and who shared their journey back to Torah. I just know that you're going to be inspired by their words of wisdom. Our first guest for this segment is David Mark. Rabbi David shared his journey that took him to other countries and an illness that almost killed him before he learned about trusting God to provide everything he needed and to simply concentrate on what he was created to do. In this excerpt, he talks about the importance of prayer. So now let's hear Rabbi David's wise words.
Rabbi Nachman says, My entire path is prayer. And I think that's the beginning of every journey needs to be prayer. And I don't mean prayer in a synagogue. I mean, take time every day away from everybody else and tell the Creator over everything that's on your mind and have a real start having a real relationship. And when you do that, things will happen. The path that you need to have will unlock for yourself.
Wow. Beautiful, comforting words from Rabbi David. Now we're going to hear from Rabbi Yom Tov Glazer. Rabbi Glazer is an internationally renowned speaker and Torah teacher who came to Israel as part of a family bribe and ended up staying and becoming a rabbi in the process. So now let's hear what Rabbi Glazer has to tell us.
Every human being has inside of them, all of us know, we have inside of us a compass that points north, meaning there's the right thing to do and the not right thing to do in every situation. Now, what's right and what's wrong might have to do with your education, your background, where you grew up. You know, there's a lot of different definitions of what's right and wrong, but we all have that compass built in. And here's the kicker is that when you do the right thing, you feel better. And when you do the wrong thing, you generally feel worse. Your conscience kicks in. So we all have that conscience and it makes us feel bad. So since in life, we all want to feel good. So then how do you feel good with precision? You know, life's pretty complex. The world's pretty complex. How can I do the right thing with sophistication? And I got introduced, when I came to Jerusalem, I got introduced to Torah, to the world of Torah, of the Bible. But it's not just the Bible, it's our sages that you're really studying all the time. And it was incredible that every single situation, every scenario a human being could ever wind up in, if you lay the transparency of the sages' wisdom on every situation, which could be anything from a lost object to a business discrepancy to it, you know, an argument over property or even the lines between two homes. It's just unbelievable that the accuracy and the sophistication that the sages brought to the situation gave you a pinpointed GPS system to do the right thing and then feel great in the end. In a system of people, a community of people who all are bent to do the right things. And therefore feel good. And you literally can see it. Once you're part of such a community, you can literally see it.
The Torah is our compass. It will direct us in the right path. Well, now we're going to hear from Yael Trush, who has firsthand advice on the importance of holding fast to what you know is right. Yael is a writer, international speaker, and creator of the Jewish Latin Princess blog and podcast, where she interviews the world's most uniquely talented Jewish women. Here's Yael's wise words.
I would like to specifically share that our challenges are always an opportunity for growth. And very often for people who are in a journey of becoming more observant, it does come with certain challenges because, as we touched upon before, we might be doing something that is different from what the family that we grew up with or the family that we have now at the moment. Also, there's career challenges, like we mentioned before. I myself faced numerous challenges, right? How do you now explain to your boss that you're not coming Friday afternoon or you're not preparing the presentation on Saturday when the whole team wants to meet on Saturday, right? And then Yontov, you know, they could get Shabbat, but what now all of a sudden on a Wednesday afternoon, you can't, you know, you had to leave or you can't come on Thursday. These are things that we have to navigate. But I would say to listeners, always know that when you're doing the right thing, when you're doing what God wants from you, and this is a gift, this is our inheritance, our birthright that God gave the Jewish people, God will take care of it. Just put your trust in God. Do what you need to do. Do it with respect, like we said before. Do it with sensitivity, with communication, but don't yield. Don't give in. Do what you know is expected of a Jew, and God will take care of the rest.
Next, we will be hearing from Judy Gruen, author of the book, The Skeptic and the Rabbi. And she shared how she had to look at her beliefs in the face and be open to new understandings, which eventually led her to embrace Torah observance. All right, let's hear what Judy has to share with us.
I'm not trying to tell people, I did this and you should too. It's about facing your own preconceptions or misconceptions. And it's about finding the courage and the strength to maybe follow a path that was not what you expected. That is very much part of the story. And maybe to go against the grain and to resist the temptation to just follow along, but to look in a new way that you hadn't expected to, and to find something beautiful there.
Our next to the last guest, Elam Bar Shalom, who shared with us an incredibly inspirational story of his journey through nearly falling off a cliff to how he kept the peace with a family that was anti-religious. Though Elam's segment here is short, his words are very powerful, so let's have a listen.
Stick around, God wants you here. And two, know that God really loves you, and no matter what you've done, no matter what you think you've done wrong, God wants you close and wants you back. It's never, never too late. If it seems like it's too late, why don't you wait half a year, see if you feel the same?
And now, my last guest for today is so appropriate for the end of this powerful episode as she addresses the topic of compassion, and specifically the need for us to have compassion on ourselves. Sometimes, as we travel on our journey and we hit bumps and make choices that we later regret, or make progress more slowly than we had hoped, we sometimes begin to compare ourselves with others and or where we think we should be, and we can be so hard on ourselves. But that's not what we should be doing. So Azriella has some very important words for us. But before we hear her words, I just want to mention that Azriella is a doctor. She's Dr. Azriella Jankovic, and she's a soul care educator and a coach who has recently published her first book called Above All Things. It's a book of insights that she says are to awaken joy, purpose, and spiritual connection. So here's Azriella's last words to us.
Right. Our people have had collective trauma and we're processing it and it's not easy. And I think you really touched upon this idea of compassion that we can be focused on. You know, there are some beautiful teachings about Hashem and Hashem's, the Lord's compassion on us. And that when we are able to open our eyes to the mercy that God has in our lives and the compassion that God has in our lives and look for the gifts, look for the places in our lives where, you know, we might feel challenged by something. We can ask ourselves, is it possible that this could be God having compassion on me? Mm. Is there something I'm supposed to learn from this or receive from this? What is the message? Right. What is the message? And that's listening. That's listening.
I can't think of a better message to end this incredible episode with. But since it's my show, I decided that I too would leave you with a few last words of wisdom that I've learned along the way. This summer, I will be celebrating 20 years since I came back to Judaism. In those 20 years, I have had the honor to speak to and meet tens of thousands of people. The vast majority were Jewish, but many also were not, or were in the process of becoming. But that's it. All of life is a process of becoming, And that's an important thing for us to focus on, that life is a process. And we shouldn't get bogged down in the fact that we haven't arrived yet, because the truth is, once we've arrived, we're done. So what's left? You see, each and every one of us was created for a reason. You were created for a reason. And if God didn't think the world needed you in it, he wouldn't have created you in the first place. But every morning we pray the Mode'ani prayer, which thanks God for having given us another day. The prayer ends with the phrase, "Great is your faith." Many times the English translations take a little liberty and translate it as, "Great is your faithfulness," which is a nice thought, and it's true, but it's not accurate. So then what does it mean, "Great is your faith"? Well, there are many opinions that say that this actually means, "Great is your faith in me," because the whole point is that God has given you another day because he has faith in you that you are going to do what he created you to do in this world, that you are going to contribute your unique you-ness to the world. That applies to every single one of us, whether we're Jewish or not. You have a purpose in this world. Focus on connecting to God and being willing to do what you're supposed to do. And remember that God created you the way you are because he has given you everything you need to do that job. Not just your gifts and your talents, but your challenges as well. Well, we're out of time for today's show, but I want to just take a moment to say thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be in touch with me, you can email me at penina@israelnewstalkradio.com. That's P-E-N-I-N-A @israelnewstalkradio.com. And one last thing before I sign off, I just want to share with my listeners that even though it's still winter, I and my trusty assistant Jackie are already working on speaking tours for the rest of the year. So if you would like me to come out to your community to talk about my own Leap of Faith story, please be in touch at info@peninataylor.com or find me on my public Facebook page or my website, peninataylor.com. I'm looking forward to meeting some of you in person. Well, thanks again for being here with me today, and I'll see you next time when we take a leap of faith together here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.